This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Steve Vaughn in studio with me today as we come back to a biblical perspective of what is going on. And the Western world is very much in apostasy. That's why I wrote my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to give a better perspective for what has happened, but also to equip Christians such that they have an answer. They can give an answer to those who ask a reason for the hope that is within us. And a reason for why we oppose the world. And we do have a responsibility to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. And to replace that with the hope that we have in Christ. And so as we deal with the Western apostasy and the ideas that have been so corrupting to the entire Western world, especially to the area of the K-12 schools and colleges and universities that have been used to corrupt each successive generation, it's important for us to warn parents and to guide them towards a more biblical approach in terms of our worldview and the way we inculcate that worldview into our children. And that's why the book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Well, today is another example of how this apostasy has affected the cultural leaders of the day, especially those found in the universities. And this should be no surprise, but liberals in America are pushing for killing children in the Amazon. Now, I'm going to explain this in just a moment, but evidently there's still some pagan tribes in the Amazon that are participating in infanticide, tribal ritual murders of children. And so the neo-pagans that have killed 2 billion children by abortion since 1960, thanks to Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, and all the rest, the neo-pagans have killed some 2 billion children by abortion and probably another billion or two through the abortifacient effects of the birth control pill. So these neo-pagans who have killed, 2 to 4 billion children by abortion are advocating for the older style blatant paganism where, you know, parents just kill their kids whenever they want to. So that's what's happening. And it's an article from the Federalist. I think the Federalist is somewhat of a conservative online magazine. And let me read just an extended portion of this. Let me begin with the article that they're interacting with from Foreign Policy. Foreign Policy, everybody needs to know, is a liberal magazine. I believe it's put out by the Council on Foreign Relations. Is that right? I believe it is.
I'm not sure, but that sounds right.
Is. Well, Foreign Policy has an article. It's called Should Amazon Tribes Be Allowed to Kill Their Young? And the foreign policy editors just aren't so sure whether they should or not should not be. So, you know, there's this ethical ambiguity over the question of whether these cultural tribes who have a commitment to killing certain children should have the right to do that. Again, the idea is that all ethics are culturally relative to each individual democracy or each individual group of people. Why? Because the source of ethics is the people. The source of ethics is man. The source of ethics is whatever man comes up with, like right now. So if, let's say you had a group of people who lived in Germany in the 1930s, and 51-52% of the population considered it to be a right cultural practice to kill Jews, the foreign policy editors would say, well, now see, that's their culture. So should we really intervene with the culture of these Germans who have decided to kill the Jews? So again, those who have pretty much abandoned the idea of absolute ethics are going to give way to this kind of thing. So on and on the article goes. The Federalist article says that this article linked a story in Foreign Policy magazine from April 9th about a handful of indigenous tribes in Brazil that engage in the ritual killing of infants and children, namely those with disabilities, twins, children of single mothers, all of whom are considered to be a bad omen, and the legal efforts underway to end the practice. At issue is a law under consideration in Brazil that would outlaw ritual infanticide and child killings by native groups, known as Mwaji's Law, named after an indigenous woman who rejected her tribe's expectation that she kill her disabled daughter in 2005. Okay, so what is at issue is there's a law in Brazil that is considering the outlawing of infanticide, which, by the way, typically happens in nations that have received something of a Christian heritage, or a nation that has been, you know, received something of a discipleship over a period of, say, 100 years or 300 years. So, you know, we saw the end of Sati in India over a period of time, thanks to the influence of William Carey and other missionaries in India. You remember, Sati is the practice of many, many pagan tribes in which they would kill the wives of a certain chieftain who died, So if the chieftain died, they would burn the body of the chieftain, then they'd throw his wives onto the pyre of his funeral pyre, and they would be burned to death there. So that was a practice in India, and it's a practice of many pagan tribes. But thanks to the influence of Christian missionaries throughout the centuries, this has been put down. And of course, our introduction to Christian missions called Taking the World for Jesus, we present the amazing legacy of what Jesus has done over a period of many, many, many years, over 2,000 years. And I would encourage you to give your children something of the legacy of Christ and his influence over the nations, and how Jesus, by his brave and courageous missionaries, have discipled the nations over 2,000 years. Give your children that big picture view of the conquests of Christ and what he has accomplished throughout the globe. If you don't give them that picture, then they're not going to honor Christ. They're not going to give him the honor that is due him, especially if they're stuck reading world history and they're just enamored with what the Caesars and Napoleon did over, you know, the last 2,000 years. So yeah. I guess the point is, be sure you give your children a ninth grade history course that would emphasize the works of Christ. And that's why we put together this course called Taking the World for Jesus. It's about a 350-page introduction to the amazing work of Christ over 2,000 years. But I'm going to get back to this in just a moment. So we're going to take a break and come back to analyzing the resurgence of paganism and the efforts to stop this bill in the Brazilian legislature that would stop infanticide and put an end to these pagan practices, and of course press the rule of Jesus Christ into the darkest realms of the Amazon. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at 1/3 the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Steve Vaughn also in studio, as we interact with the rise of paganism. And of course, that has already happened with the killing of billions upon billions of children in the Western world, in the developed world, thanks to the influence of people like Margaret Sanger and the work of George H.W. Bush in the early 1970s and the Republicans on the Supreme Court of the United States, that the Republican appointed Supreme Court justices, 5 out of the 7 that went for Roe v. Wade were Republican appointed justices. So we want to go back to the heritage that was left for us by guys like Richard Nixon and Eisenhower, men who brought about the Supreme Court justices who approved of Roe v. Wade in the 1970s. So friends, my friends, we have come out of a period of time in which some of the very, very worst resurgence of paganism has returned to the world and ended with the the deaths of billions upon billions of children. So now these that have approved of abortion are doing their best to maintain infanticide in places like the Amazon. However, there is a Brazilian push on the part of government officials, and I'm sure the evangelical influence in Brazil, that wants to put an end to child killing by native groups throughout Brazil. It's called Mukwege's Law, named after an indigenous woman who rejected her tribe's expectation that she kill her disabled daughter back in 2005. The Brazilian Association of Anthropology, of course, opposes Mukwege's Law and compared it to, quote, the most repressive and least lethal actions ever perpetrated against the indigenous peoples of the Americas, which were unfailingly justified through appeals to noble causes, humanitarian values, and universal principles. The association also called the law an attempt to put indigenous peoples in the permanent condition of defendants before a tribunal tasked with determining their degrees of savagery. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to maintain something of the primitive paganism of all these horrible religions that have, you know, maintained incredible satanic darkness over these regions for centuries upon centuries. But it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that breaks through and puts an end to sati, widow burning, and infanticide and other things as well. And you do remember the hundreds of thousands of children and poor slaves and others that were sacrificed to the gods in Aztec Mexico in the 1400s and 1500s. So you remember that, and you remember the sheer evil, the demonic evil that that spread across Mexico for those centuries until the Europeans showed up and put an end to it. Only because there is some influence of Christ in the Western world, or was, and we want to give our Lord Jesus Christ some credit for bringing some light to the darkness in an otherwise perverted and pagan world. All right, so let me just continue on with this story from the Federalist, because this is really amazing stuff. He says, these are all thinly veiled references to advocates of the law, like Marcia and Edson Suzuki. And this is a pair of evangelical missionaries who in 2006 founded an organization called ATINI that works to defend the rights of indigenous children. The foundation's advocacy helped get Mukwege's Law through the lower house of Brazil's National Congress in 2015. It's now under consideration by the Federal Senate. So they're getting close. And so that's why, of course, the demonic forces are rising up and the principalities and powers are infiltrating and possessing the souls of the Brazilian Association of Anthropology, oppose the attempts of the Suzukis to bring about this law, Mukwege's Law. The Suzukis are a fascinating couple with an amazing story. They spent decades living among remote indigenous peoples of Brazil, especially with a group called the Suruaha, which only made contact with the outside world in the 1970s. The Suruaha believe children born with physical defects have no souls, that twins, triplets are cursed. Most such children are buried alive, according to the tribe's custom. In 1995, the Suzukis were living among the Suruaha, while tribal leaders decided that a two-year-old girl named Hakani, who still could not walk or talk, should be killed and ordered her parents to do it. The harrowing story of what ensued was recounted in a 2007 report in the Telegraph. So this is what happened. The parents committed suicide. They ate a poison root because they did not want to obey the order and kill their little girl. This is a very intense story. Hakani's 15-year-old brother then was told that he had to kill her. He dug a hole to bury her next to the village hut, which is where the tribe usually buries animals, and hit her over the head with a machete. However, she woke up as she was being placed in the hole, and the boy found he could not go through with the killing. Hakani's grandfather then shot her with an arrow. He was so upset, he tried to commit suicide too. But Hakani survived all of this. Can you believe this?
Wow.
Little girl survived. Arrow survived, the machete and everything else. She survived. Her wound became infected. She was left to live like an animal in the forest for 3 years.
Goodness.
Okay, so this is what the liberals love, you know, like they're just in love with this kind of stuff. You know, give them a little infanticide, give them a little bit of the Hakani thing, and the liberals, it just thrills their heart to see this level of satanic paganism kick in and dominate in the hearts and minds and lives of these tribes. But Hakani, thankfully, she survived. And at age 5, she was undersized, still unable to walk, and abused by the Indians. She survived because a brother smuggled food to her. The Suzukis eventually got Hakani the medical care she needed. She was diagnosed with a treatable condition, hypothyroidism, which is something I have, by the way.
Yeah.
So she was, you know, diagnosed with the same thing I have. And she was nursed back to health. They tried to bring her back to the tribe to show them she was not cursed, but nobody wanted her. So the Suzukis adopted Haqqani as their own. Instead of bringing attention to the plight of disabled and unwanted indigenous children, the Haqqani affair prompted the public prosecutor's office in the state of Amazonia to recommend in 2003 that all non-indigenous people be banned from lands occupied by the Saruha. So, well, in other words, you know, we want these guys.
We got people trying to take care of people. We got to get rid of them.
I know. We got to get rid of these people. Let's get rid of the gospel. Let's get rid of Christ. Let's be sure that these people are killing as many kids as possible. Again, this is your typical liberal agenda. The liberal agenda being not a liberal agenda, but a satanic agenda, just that is absolutely committed to the worst possible evils that can be concocted by the minds of men and demons. According to foreign policy, state officials relied on the judgment anthropologist Marcos Farias de Almeida, who charged the Suzukis with advocating for Western values to the detriment of those held by the Saruhawa. By removing Haqqani, Suzuki stood in the way of realization of a cultural practice filled with meaning, as in shooting arrows at little two-year-old girls and whacking their heads with machetes and kicking them off in the jungle to survive like an animal for 3 to 4 or 5 years of her life. Okay, so that's the thing that these anthropologists want to maintain. You know, these anthropologists have been through the Western universities, and they've been programmed by the Antichrist Antichrist liberal agenda of Western universities. The whole anthropology department is just chock full of people who hate God and they hate Christ, and they want to restore paganism, pagan religions everywhere. It's a battle again between Christ and his word, the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the darkness that settles over these pagan tribes and the universities in the Western world.
Yeah, there's just no sense that life is sacred, that life is given by God, and so therefore these are just glorified animals, glorified apes that are living out their own cultural experience that they want to leave them to. But see, when you reject God, God is truth and God is life. And when you reject God, you get to falsehood and you get to death. And that's really the only option they have. When you reject life, that's called death. And that's what they want for all of these people.
It's a cultural ethical relativism at the base, but really at the base is a denial of God's law and Satan just whispering into the anthropologist's ears over and over again, ye shall be as gods, determining good and evil for themselves. So if the Amazonians want to kill little three-year-old girls and the German tribes want to wipe out all the Jews, so be it, according to anthropologists who believe that each people, each cultural group can be as gods and determine good and evil for themselves. Well, the modern world also has somewhat sanitized the idea of infanticide since the 1960s. Now, I think they're becoming increasingly self-consistent, but Steve, since the 1960s, they have sanitized the idea of infanticide by abortion and by abortifacient birth control pills. In fact, using the term abortion, it gives you something of medical terminology. It's like referring to the baby as fetal tissue. You know, again,
right.
it's the neo-speak. It's the Orwellian language shift to cover up what's really going on. Nobody wants to say, you know, we are killing babies. I've yet to see a Planned Parenthood organization that has on their marquee out front, we'll kill your baby $200 today. We still have opportunities to kill 4 more babies today. Sign up right now. You don't see that on Planned Parenthood marquees. And why? Because there is still something of a conscience in the West. They feel a need to sanitize their bloody work. There's still something of a tiny bit of conscience. And I think it's because since John 16, the Holy Spirit of God has come in order to convict the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness. And there is something of that. And so I think that's why the modern world is still maintaining something of a facade of hypocrisy over what they're doing. They, for some reason, just don't want to come out and say, we kill babies and we trade in baby body parts. We will kill your baby for $500 and we will sell its kidney for $200. Anybody wants to come and pick it up. They don't want to say that. That's what they do, but they don't want to say it. And they don't want to say it because there's something of a heritage of Christian ethics that still rings in the back of the conscience of Western man.
Yeah, and I believe also that the Holy Spirit is holding people back from being as bad as they possibly could. Can you imagine what this would be? I mean, I think that it could be the marquee, we sell baby body parts, if the Holy Spirit ever pulled all the way out.
Well, there is an increasingly higher level of consistency coming through the liberals today, and it comes out of the anthropology departments in many of these universities, as well as the sociology department. I think of Princeton University Professor Peter Singer. Do you remember this guy? Peter Singer, he's still around, by the way. My understanding, he's still working with Princeton University. There's been a push to remove him because, you know, he's advocated some of the worst possible things. He's advocated rape recently, advocated that rape could be a good thing. So I don't know who he wants people to rape, but he wants somebody to rape somebody. So Peter Singer advocating rape. He's advocated the elimination of little children who are born with birth defects. In fact, in an interview with UK Independent a couple of years ago, they asked him the question, would you kill a disabled baby? Here's his response. Again, this is from the UK Independent. Peter Singer responded, yes, if that was in the best interest of the baby and of the family as a whole. Many people find this shocking, continued Singer, yet they support a woman's right to have an abortion. One point on which I agree with opponents of abortion is that from the point of view of ethics rather than law, there is no sharp distinction between the fetus and the newborn baby. Now, see, that is Peter Singer, a sociology professor from Princeton University, finally acknowledging that we need to be a little more self-consistent here. If you're up and okay for a first trimester abortion, a second and a third trimester abortion, why not a fourth and fifth and sixth trimester abortion? That's the point he's making. And when I say a fourth trimester abortion, I'm just simply saying, you know, a baby who's born and 3 months into it, you want to kill him, go ahead. You find him a little more inconvenient than you thought he was going to be. He's still sort of dependent on you. There's a level of dependence there. The baby just simply cannot survive on his own and relies upon a mother to breastfeed the child until he's weaned, perhaps. You know, maybe there's something of a basis for abortion. If you're saying that a baby who's dependent upon a mother's womb is dependent, and a baby dependent upon a bottle or upon breastfeeding is dependent, then a fourth or fifth or sixth trimester abortion might be just as appropriate as a first, second, or third trimester abortion. And that's the way that Peter Singer is arguing. So again, he's attempting to be more self-consistent. But as you know, Steve, Peter Singer's basic ethic is still arbitrary. He's looking at the best interests of the baby and the family. But how in the world might anybody determine the best interests of anybody in a random world where there is absolutely no basis for the definition of the word good?
Yeah. And how can it be in the best interest of somebody to die? I mean, that has never been in the best interest of that person.
Well, we say that from our own worldview perspective, because thou shalt not murder is our basic definition of right and wrong and good and evil. But their basic definition of right and wrong is, did you get that?
Yeah.
Okay. That was it.
Pretty much nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever you want.
Exactly. So maybe the entire race should be wiped out. Maybe the entire human race should be wiped out.
At the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo, mm-hmm. It's been a long time since I've been there, but when you're walking out, it talks about the one worst animal that's out there, and you look into a mirror.
Yeah, you look into the mirror. Yeah, the worst animal on Earth is... You look into the mirror. Yeah, that's what you get down at the Cheyenne Zoo. That's because the people who run the zoos, the people who run the museums, people who run the universities, the people who run our systems today are liberal, and they're materialistic, naturalistic evolutionists, and they do not believe that man was created in the image of God, and man is must submit to God, to his ethics, and to what God has determined to be right and wrong. So, friends, again, what we're looking at here is a radical departure from biblical ethics and an autonomous approach that has no basis in any form of an absolute ethic. And so at the end of the day, the humans that maintain this materialistic evolutionary outlook will say that the human race at some point really needs to be wiped out entirely, and some other new evolutionary development should probably displace the human race. So that is the ethic of those that maintain that materialistic approach, or what we should probably just call a demonic approach to metaphysics and ethics. So how do Christians stand against this kind of thing? I think that's the question we need to end on today. And the first thing I would say is you get out there and you support the Suzukis and anybody else who is advocating for the lives of little children, whether it be here in America or out in the Amazon. You support the Suzukis. You support the Brazilian Christian evangelicals that are fighting hard to preserve the lives of these Amazonian babies, these Amazonian children who are being slaughtered by machetes right and left. And also, I think, as Christians, we need to take action in our communities against abortion. And those true churches, those churches that represent the compassion of Jesus, will be known by their activity outside of abortion clinics. There aren't very many churches that will stand outside of abortion clinics. There actually, if there are, 500 churches in the Denver metro area, there should be 450 churches that are scheduling their stands against the killing of innocent children in these abortuaries across the Denver metro area. But in truth, there's probably only about two or three, if that. So friends, very few churches today will take a stand against the evils of the day, but the early church did. The true Christian church has done that through the centuries, and so the true church will absolutely take action in their communities against abortion. We should fight for the lives of the least of these. We should take a stand for righteousness, especially where the slaughter centers are eliminating the lives of children right and left in our communities. And then finally, a final point before we're done, Steve, is that I think Christians have been embarrassed of God's law as the basic ethic for life and politics. And that's one reason why Christians have not been standing in the gap. And they've not been able to answer those who have suggested that we return to infanticide, human sacrifice, homosexuality, bestiality, cannibalism, mass murder, et cetera, et cetera. Ultimately, it's God's law or bust. Infanticide is wrong because God says thou shalt not murder. Human sacrifice is wrong because of Deuteronomy 13. God did not want human sacrifice in Israel like the Canaanites did, and he certainly doesn't want it coming back to America or to the Amazon. So human sacrifice is wrong because of Deuteronomy 13. Infanticide is wrong because God said thou shalt not murder. And, of course, abortion is wrong because of Exodus 21, if men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall still surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judge is determined. So obviously, if there's even an accidental abortion that comes about by hazardous conditions, absolutely, it should be against the law. There should be a fine on something like that. So arguing from lesser to greater, of course, you don't run in there with malice and forethought and slaughter a child for convenience. Okay, even though it happens in the lives of hundreds of millions of babies around the world today, we still, as Christians, need to take the stand on issues like this. Well, as I wrap up this program, I encourage you to a couple of resources. First, Taking the World for Jesus, a very positive and upbeat perspective of what Jesus has done as brave and courageous men and women of God across the oceans and disciple the nations. Man, this world will never be the same. It's been transformed. Yes, the wicked Westerners are trying to reverse all of that, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is still on the throne, and he's going to bring those Westerners to account at some point. But I also encourage you to our little book, Keep the Faith, on sexuality and the family, where we deal with the question of abortion, infanticide, homosexuality, and the key issues of the day. Which side do you fall on? Do you fall on the side of the faith of Christ and those who keep the commandments of God? Or do you fall on the side of those who do not keep the faith of Christ and keep the commandments of God? That's the question. And so we lay out some of the salient commandments and some of the salient issues of the day in that little series, Keep the Faith, on family and sexuality. So get a copy of that, as well as a little hardback for $9 or $10. And again, friends, if you can't afford some of our resources, just simply email me at host@kevinswanson.com, and we'll find a way to get these resources to you. All of our resources available at generations.org. That's generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.